Hello out there, and welcome to your Next Mission Video Podcast. Music has been an important part of my life, as sure as it has been for many of you. But did you know music can be a form of therapy for veterans suffering from mental health challenges? Our guest today brings to light the relationship between music and science in dealing with issues such as PTSD or TBI or other challenges our veterans face. So please stay tuned for this enlightening and informative conversation. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans and service members and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of the military community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield, FPP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FPP Vision. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. And if you ever listen to the show, I always say this, we love them too. Today, we're going to talk about how music can define identity, provide purpose, and develop a sense of community for service members transitioning out of the military and veterans suffering from mental health challenges. And I'm excited, I'm pumped up, I'm motivated to introduce a good friend of mine, Sergeant Major retired Mark Riley, United States Army President and CEO of the Washington Tattoo. Sergeant Major, glad to see you on the show.
SMA, it is an honor and a privilege to be here. I have been looking forward to this for a long time, and I'm so glad we can finally connect on this.
Well, I certainly am too. Hey, the audience probably wants to learn a little bit about you. So how about telling the audience just a little bit about the Sergeant Major Mark or whatever you want to say. Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, no, sure. So originally from kind of upstate New York, Hudson Valley area. So I grew up as a kid in the hotbed of the American Revolution up in the Hudson Valley across from West Point. Got involved with my first fife and drum corps when I was 6 years old. So I've been doing kind of the military music thing for a real long time, and I had the honor and privilege of being a member of the United States Army Old Guard Fife and Drum Corps. And so we would do presidential arrivals, inaugurations, those types of things. And later on in my military career, got to do some policy writing and got to work with some regulations and policy for Army music. So what really caught the bug for me, or how I caught the bug for me with military music and mental health, was that the Fife and Drum Corps annually would go to Walter Reed numerous times a year for nurse graduations and other activities. We'd also go to San Antonio, you'd go to BAMSI, you'd go to the Burn Center, and you would interact with, 19-year-old kids that will never live a normal day in their life again. And then we saw how music could impact their quality of life, their spirit, and just being able to uplift those folks in that time of need became addictive. It was very much a drug. And so being able to unify this sense of purpose with giving back to our military community has absolutely poured into what we do with the Washington Tattoo now. As a nonprofit and as a retired sergeant major, you're able to really connect with some incredible folks and build amazing partnerships to really increase quality of life and help save lives through the power of music. And so it's been an honor and a privilege to be able to be on this journey. And I know SMA, you and I have connected numerous times at, AUSA and other activities. And so really excited about this partnership here and looking forward to seeing where this can go from, in the future.
A lot of people don't know this, but I used to play the flute. I played it for 1 year. I wasn't very good, and so I put it down and never went back. Hey, before we get into all that Washington Tattoo is doing, would you tell the audience what is a tattoo and where did it originate from?
Well, it's definitely a tattoo, not in the sense of ink. I have one of those. I definitely have a tattoo. But it goes back to really the 1500s and 1600s and the camp duty. So the communication device for the military was music. It was fifers, it was drummers, it was buglers. And you'll still hear those calls on installations today. You'll hear Retreat Into the Color, you'll hear Reveille. But really, the soldiers back in the day were not rich enough to own their own watches. So to tell time in the camp and to relay officer commands on the battlefield and also in the camp, they created and devised a system of calls. And so other than Reveille and wood call and church call and mess call, there was a call called tattoo. And it was an old Dutch term, do den tap toe is in the original Dutch. Now anglicized, goes to tattoo, was the final call of the evening that the drummer or the fifer would play around town to tell the tavern keepers to turn off the ale taps, to turn off the beer taps, and send the soldiers back to bed. So the actual term tattoo is the old last call for alcohol. And what's happened in the 20th century is that that call has turned into an evening ceremony. And so the evening ceremony that exists today celebrates military drill teams, bands, cultural performers from around the globe. And the largest of these evening ceremonies happens in Edinburgh, Scotland, in front of the Edinburgh Castle. So each August, the Edinburgh Tattoo hosts 26 shows across the entire month of August in front of 10,000 spectators per show. So they're hitting over 250,000 people that come to see this very traditional, but also meeting a little bit of modern music, a little bit of modern dance, and then also military drill teams performing at the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo. So that's a little history of what the tattoo was and now what it is today.
Yeah, I've been to quite a few tattoos when I was up in Washington, D.C., and I always enjoyed them. The only problem is I always wanted to let them, you know, play an instrument or sing or do something, and they never would let me do that. I even wanted to lead to, you know, love that, never mind. I'll talk about that later. Hey, what's the mission of the tattoo? Does it have a mission? I'm sure it does. I guess
it does. And so, we've been working with some great partners here. We just brought on a great supporter from Coca-Cola that's helping us really package our messaging really strongly. So I'm just going to read it exactly. The Washington Tattoo exists to serve and empower veterans and military-connected communities through the healing, unifying, and transformative power of music and cultural heritage. And so we're founded by veterans, for veterans. Our organization blends the disciplines of military music, community arts, and trauma-informed programming to create meaningful opportunities for reflection, integration, and purpose after service.
I got to tell you, you know this already, I love music. I can't sing a lick, and if I do sing, people start to run the other way. But I love music, and I love to listen to music. And it really, I guess I used to run. I'm not a fast runner. But when I listened to music, I could run a little bit faster because I got into a rhythm. And it made me relax, and it made me just sort of, you know, be in a better place in life, I guess. So I enjoy music. And if I can tell you one quick story, when I was in Bosnia, I put together a little band and had a singer and a guy playing the guitar, and they'd, you know, and we'd go out and I put him in my Humvee and we'd go out and they'd sing to people on guard duty. It'd be snowing and stuff. And they'd actually cry. It was overwhelming. I mean, just the impact of music and how it made them feel. They played a lot of really good stuff and I had so much fun. Hey, how are you using music to help our veteran community?
No, great question. And I think in the band space, in the military music space, it's very difficult to quantify the impact of music. And so it's a very qualitative measure. It feels good. People can kind of put words to it in the moment, but measuring it from a quantitative perspective, but using qualitative data is really what we've been finding a really unique niche. And so Syracuse University Institute for Veterans and Military Families has been fantastic. George Mason University has been really also fantastic. And there are these music and veteran initiatives that are out there. And so what we've been able to do is take our partnerships with folks from the White House, folks from the DC ecosystem, and say, look, let's put some science behind this and let's figure out how we can map the brain, increase serotonin levels, dopamine levels, decreased anxiety levels. How do we start to measure these activities with the veteran population? And so what we've been doing is we host workshops. We actually have two cohorts. We have a program called Rudiments to Recovery, which focuses specifically on the veteran and taking the rudiments or the basics of drumming and applying that to meditative breathing, self-awareness, and storytelling. And so that has a series of cohorts. We bring veterans in and we have, you know, it's fun. We unpack styles of music, genres of music. Why do people like country more than they like hip hop or R&B, maybe classic rock or classical or jazz? And we have that program built out for veterans. So if anyone's interested, we, you know, hit us up on our website. But then our other program is called Rudiments to Opportunity, and that's more geared towards at-risk youth. And so the programs that we do there is we work with at-risk youth kids in DC public schools, and also with the Joe Gibbs Foundation and their Youth for Tomorrow program.
Yeah, wow, you did a lot of stuff. You have a lot of people. Do you get a lot of people, a lot of veterans that want to come in and help you after they listen to the tattoo or whatever you're doing, or after they listen to your music or what you're trying to do? Do a lot of veterans try to, you know, our family members try to reach out and say, hey, I want to be part of your program?
We do. We actually have a waiting list. Right now there are folks waiting because the cohorts are small, and they're small because on purpose we want them to be intimate. We want people to feel comfortable to share stories that, you know, attach music to an emotional reaction or a feeling that they had during service. But really, the Washington Tattoo hosts an annual event every year, and that's the interest generator for the rest of our activities throughout the actual calendar year. So that big one event, a lot of vets come to it, a couple thousand folks, and all of a sudden the response afterwards has been where the magic is made, where, you know, what was it about that event that really touched you and you became excited to re-explore your musical journey? And then through these cohorts, they become much more personalized, and the vets, really the feedback has been extraordinarily powerful.
Well, I think the other thing is the interaction with the veterans after the, I mean, when they're talking to each other and they're talking to family and stuff, I imagine you get a lot of interaction with all those people that are sitting there. Yeah.
And it's crazy to talk to the folks who have been deployed at the same time that somebody else was deployed. They never met each other, but they experienced experienced similar things at the same time, but they never knew each other. And so this gives them that connective tissue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Hey, we need to take a quick break, though. It's a great discussion. I enjoy the heck out of this. When we come back, I want to talk about a little bit about your events and what makes them really so special. So please, I know you're not going to go to. Stay right there. I'm going to be right back. Hey, this is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you enjoyed this discussion, I know you are, because we're talking about music. We're talking about connecting. We're talking about helping our veteran community. And that's what all of us need to do. Please like us, click on that subscribe button below, and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presented sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Sergeant Major retired Mark Riley, United States Army and President and CEO of the Washington Tattoo. Before we get back to this discussion, I want to let you know about a program to support the work we're doing on behalf of our veterans and families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you're planning to get rid of, or some property you don't have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate. And click on the vehicle donation button or the home donation button to support our work. We appreciate your support. Hey, Sergeant Major, please, give the audience an example of what your live events really consist of.
Yeah, absolutely. So we create immersive events for veterans, military, families, and the public in general, but it is very much guided around the history and tradition of military ceremony. So you'll see a presentation of colors, but that's wrapped up with singers, pipe bands, Highland dancers, Irish dancers, even historically Black college and university drum lines. So we bring in these aspects of military music from across the globe. The last couple of years, we've had an amazing group come in from Glasgow, Scotland, called the Roland Drones. And the Roland Drones are off kind of a play on words with the Rolling Stones. And they hybrid and mash up traditional Scottish music, things like Highland Cathedral or Scotland the Brave. And they put that with AC/DC or Taylor Swift or something like that, Leonard Skinner.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're really, really, they're a fantastic group. But what we do together is we take those kinds of groups. We take a drill team, we take the fife and drum corps, and we will create music where they'll collaborate together and you'll see something that will never be done anywhere else. And this music where you're taking something very traditional, something very modern, and you're letting the musicians have that creative space to say, what does it look like to represent culture and heritage in the 21st century, keeping it hot, keeping it exciting, but still honoring and representing the generations of those who have served before in a meaningful, impactful, and relevant way. That's something that just makes us get up out of bed every morning and say, we can do that and we can get more people to this story. So,
well, go ahead.
Yeah, no. It's been fun to do. It's been exciting. It's hyper creative. But we also want to make sure that we're still honoring the people who have given us what we have today. So there's a very, very detailed way that we keep respecting the traditions that were brought before us.
Well, I was going to say, do you ever have a little bit of competition in there? You know, people trying to, I'm going to be a little bit better than you, or I don't know.
No, absolutely. What happened this year, which was a blast, is that we had the Commandant's Own United States Marine Drum and Bugle Corps with the United States Army Old Guard Fife and Drum Corps together. And for years, and I kind of joke about this, but I was a snare drummer way back in the day, and we do have kind of a snare drummer mafia in our band world that we talk about.
Everybody has a mafia.
Yep. So there is definitely a global snare drum mafia that's out there. The folks that are at Buckingham Palace, good friends of mine, folks with the King's Guard of Norway, good friends. But we all learn from each other, but we learn through that competitive nature. And so the Marine drum line from the Commandant's Own are stellar. They are absolutely fantastic. The drummers from the U.S. Army Old Guard Fife and Drum Corps, and absolutely fantastic drummers, but they're different styles. And so when you bring them together, you can tell they're kind of playing off each other, but they're also kind of like giving each other that look, the soldiers against the Marines. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they make themselves better because there's that competitive spirit.
Oh, absolutely. I used to tell everybody, I don't want to be the fastest runner, but if I can beat you, I'm going to do that too. I mean, I want to do it. Hey, you mentioned our prep call that you want to use music to bridge, multiple generations of veterans who have fought, in the country's wars. How does that work?
That's a phenomenal question, and thank you for asking that. If you look at veterans that are coming from World War II, then veterans then during the Vietnam to Grenada to global war on terrorism to post-surge veterans, each of those generations have a connective tissue through service, but their service experience it's going to vary quite a bit. And so if you look at World War II and you look at the USO shows, the Bob Hope, the Sergeant Major of the Army tours, when you looked at those, the music that was being played live for those veterans are all now on our smartphones. It's all on streaming, right? So they have access to all of this music, but when you're in a live setting, you can feel the difference between something that you're just listening to by yourself, kind of isolated, which is fine. That's one way to engage the music, but then being live in person with other people and singing together and feeling that, the brain operates very differently and fires very differently. And so what we've learned is trying to take the genres of music that are appropriate to each of the generations. Because I knew when I was growing up, my parents were like, that's devil music. You're not going to listen to that. you take the playlists that are coming from the generation of World War II and Korea vets, and you unpack that. Talk about why was that style important. And it brings up culture and societal differences. The same thing with the next generation of veteran. You take and you package that style of music, doo-wop, into classic rock. What were the lyrics that were being spoken of in those tunes, and how did they resonate with you and your story of service? You transitioning out. And so there's a curriculum that we've built, and in the logic model of the curriculum, we can plug and play any of the generations or any of the styles of music that are going to be appropriate to that cohort of people to make it really personalized.
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting here laughing because I remember years ago when I was in Vietnam, I'd always listen to a song, Sitting by the Dock of the Bay. I love that song. It was such a great song, but it just sort of mellowed me out, and I'd listen to it all the time, so I like that. The other thing I was going to ask you a question. Who was the first Sergeant Major of the Army that took the Army band over to a combat area? Do you know who that was?
I believe that may have been this crazy guy, SMA Tilly. I
think that was me. That was me. I love you. You got the right Hey, I'm glad you got that question right.
I think I'd be in a bad spot if I didn't know that answer.
Hey, you spoke earlier. I mean, you spoke earlier about music enhance the quality of life for our service member and veterans community by helping them define their identity. Provide purpose and develop a sense of community. Those are the three of the most important aspects of transition. How is the Washington Tattoo helping do that?
Another great question. What's been fun is trying to dig up where people's culture come from. Are you Hispanic? Are you Irish? Are you Scottish? Are you German? Are you Filipino? Are you Singaporean? Are you Chinese? Every service member has a heritage, a cultural heritage that surpasses their time in service. It goes back into their family's identity. And sometimes that family identity is positive, and sometimes it's very negative. Mm-hmm. And so that also plays into that trauma story. But at the core of the norms, the social norms, the cultural norms, that is allowing us to have evidence-based approaches to connecting with the individual veteran where they are. And so, for example, the Scottish tradition is fantastic. If you go back into pipe bands, wearing a kilt, that was the cultural, people like to wear kilts sometimes just to showcase that they're Scottish. Whiskey, food, drink, all of those types of cultural activities where why do Italian folks love eating Italian food? Well, it goes back into their culture. And why do we celebrate St. Patrick's Day with parades, pipe bands, green beer? People want to be proud. They're hungry to be proud. And when people lose the sense of pride, immediately starts to crumble that community that they feel like they're a part of. So infusing it with music, food, experience, clothing. I mean, I love it, but bourbon and whiskey is a great motivator to get people to come out.
No. They want to feel good about themselves.
Yeah,
you know, they want to have a positive attitude. It's a lot of fun, and they want to have fun. And music makes them have fun. They make them sing, make them relax. So I'm with you 100%. Hey, we need to take a quick break, and when we come back, I know we've already talked about it, but I want to discuss the science of music and how science and music come together to fulfill the mission. So don't go anywhere again. I'll be right back. Now here's a word from one more of the organizations to help make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilly.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Sergeant Major retired Mark Riley, United States Army, and President and CEO of the Washington Tattoo. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, I've said it many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Sergeant Major, the Wharton Tattoo as partner with, you said a little while ago, Syracuse University Institute, veterans and military families at George Mason University to do research on how science and music come together to, you know, to help our service member and veterans. What has the research really found?
There's a lot of research out there. And honestly, the precursor to a lot of the trauma-informed music therapy and music wellness programs actually goes to Alzheimer's research. And so when you go into Alzheimer's research, there have been countless studies on someone who has full-blown Alzheimer's, they're in their end of days of life, and a piano starts to play, or they touch a key on a piano, and all of a sudden, the brain just starts to fire differently. And so we started to build these relationships with, you know, folks from George Mason University. Dr. Nia T. Dokai is a phenomenal researcher in the space of veterans and music therapy and music and neuroscience. And so building relationships with George Mason and then later now with Syracuse University Institute for Veteran and Military Families, we've been looking at basically where are there gaps in the support for veterans that are struggling with trauma, community, social isolation. And in unpacking that, there have been several research articles that share that veterans obviously are prone much more to suicidal ideation. And the gaps that start to show are loss of identity, loss of purpose, and then isolation, which is a loss of community. And so when we started looking at these three buckets, and then what is the science behind how we could help support them, we started looking at social determinants of health. And so social determinants of health allow us to put a framework around what are we measuring, how are we deploying what we're doing it, and then at the end of the day, what is the evaluation process to measure positive or negative outcomes of the work being done. And so when it comes down to what's happening in the brain when you have post-traumatic stress, or if you have suicidal ideation, or if you have traumatic brain injury, there are parts of the brain that fire based on stimuli or triggers. And so looking at what the triggers are, it's very personal. Therapy is really that's the main way to get in an individualized therapy session. You're going to get one-on-one counseling, and you're going to unpack a lot of kind of those demons that as military members, we've shoved down just to get on and move along. The challenge with therapy is that it carries a stigma. And not to say that therapy has its place. Therapy is an incredible tool. But there's a study that shows that 86% of veterans will not go anywhere near the word therapy because they don't want to be stigmatized. So the concept of wellness is something that we're diving into. So take therapy, minus it by 5%. Non-clinical, making sure that it's trauma-informed and it's evidence-based, but then building out wellness programs using what's happening in the brain when the brain listens to music. What are the serotonin levels? What are the dopamine levels? What's the level of anxiety based on the type of music that your ears are exposed to? And going back to listening to your favorite music, you have different music of when you feel depressed, you're going to listen to a different soundtrack. When I'm going to the gym or I'm going for a run and I want to be fired up, that's not the same music. Why is your brain responding to heavy metal differently to Mozart? And you can actually package a soundtrack for your life. And if you're feeling that you're in a place of depression, you can have that soundtrack ready to play that's going to uplift you. Maybe it's Christian music. Maybe it's pop. Maybe it's R&B. Maybe it's rap. But so anyway, each of those ways that you listen to music, one, if I'm listening to it passively, my brain is going to fire a certain way. When I start to sing the lyrics to that song, I am going to have a different chemical release, and dopamine and serotonin levels are going to do very different things when I am music creating. And so that's where we are today in doing the evaluative studies. We're in the formative process of that. And Syracuse has been a fantastic partner in what are we measuring? Why are we measuring it? And then what are the outcomes at the end?
Yeah, a couple of things here. One is I wish we would talk to young soldiers and anybody that's getting ready to deploy about what could happen, what, you know, as far as PTSD and TBI and stuff like that,
right,
before you go overseas. The other thing is, have you ever did anything with, you know, we have a lot of people that are incarcerated that happen to be veterans. Do you ever do anything with the prison system about music within the veteran, or the that population that's incarcerated?
No, that's a fantastic question. In the veteran space, no. That is something we would love to explore to see if there is room for collaboration there. With DC public schools, yes. So in DC, a good friend of mine, Dr. Bob Roche, is at an Opportunity Academy. And the Opportunity Academy is for migrants, refugees, and former incarcerated.
Yeah.
And so it's from 19 to 24 years old. And our Rudiments to Opportunity program is in that Opportunity Academy. And so we could take that same template and bring it over to the veteran space. I would say not apples to apples, but pretty close.
Yeah, a lot of times I think the problem is we don't educate people enough about what could happen. If you
exactly.
Yeah, so. Hey, what's in store for the Worsen Tattoo in 2025? I mean, you're doing so much now, I bet you have a great plan here. What's going on?
No, I love it. We are always doing events. So every quarter we host our own events. We just finished up a couple workshops. We had our flagship event in 2025. We are already gearing up towards 2026. So if people want to put a calendar pin in there for May, first 2 weeks of May 2026, we're looking at our next flagship event. I'm going to make the announcement here. This will be going out shortly. The Washington Tattoo has become an official America 250 commemorative partner. So the Washington Tattoo is part of the congressional commission approved program partners for America 250. So we're looking to get that out there, get the word out there. We've got some incredible sponsors. So if there's organizations that want to be a part of the official America 250 birthday celebration, come reach out to us on that. We'd love to partner with you all.
Yeah. Hey, if somebody wants to reach out to you, or you know, wants to help or participate or just donate, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so come find us. We are at www.thewashingtontattoo.com, and you can volunteer. You can be on that side of the house and help support these veterans initiatives. If you want to be a company or a program sponsor, we've got avenues for that as well. But then also, if you just want to be a participant in one of the programs that we have, please reach out to us, sign up for our newsletter on our website, and of course, follow us on our social media, YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, Facebook, Instagram, all of those great places.
Is there a phone number? You got a phone number in there also?
Yeah. 703-975-5517. You'll get our phone number, and we'd love to have a conversation with you all.
There you go. Hey, this has been a great discussion, and I appreciate all the things you're doing for our veteran community. You have any final thoughts or something you want to share with the audience that maybe you missed or you want to, you know, reemphasize as we sort of before we close this out here a little bit?
No, thank you. And there's two quotes that I live by. I was very blessed at a young age, at 11 years old as a young drummer. I had a mentor named Nick Antanasio. He was 75 and I was 11 and taught me a lot about drumming, but way more about life. So the quote, first quote is, Nick would always say, look, everything I'm showing you, everything I'm giving you, it's not yours to keep. It's only yours to give.
Oh,
and that made no sense at 11 years old, but every decade has just made more and more sense. So we want to give back. We don't, this is not ours to keep. We're not allowed to keep the Washington Tattoo, all the things that we're doing. It's just for ours to give. And the second one is, this is much later on in life, is that to much who has been given, much will be demanded. But the one who's been entrusted with more, even more will be asked. And I think having a very successful career in the Army has been an amazing blessing. I am so honored to have had the military career I've had, but that's been a platform to do more. And so the more that we can do and the more that we're entrusted with, we are humbled to do it. And I don't want to be theatrical about that, but from my heart to yours, music is a way to just soothe the savage beast and really unite the world. And so it sounds very theatrical, but that is what gets us out of bed every morning. And that's our credence and our creed.
I almost want to start singing, but I just don't have a banjo. Hey, Sergeant Major, thanks again for coming on the show. It was great just talking to you. Hopefully we can do this again sometime. But just thank you so much for what you're doing for our veteran community and our families. So God bless you.
Well, thank you so much, SMA, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you.
All right. God bless. Hey, thanks again to Sergeant Major Retired Mark Riley of the Washington Tattoo for being with us today. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and You've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on our website, yournextmission.org, and leave me a review. I always say, I hope it's a good one, but give us an honest assessment. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military and Upline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and of course, Rumble. And if you like what we're doing at Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave your message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Sergeant Major Mike Riley retired Sergeant Major Mike Riley for being with us today. Hey, look here, he said it all. I don't think I'd say anything else. Music lifts me up each and every day. I love music. Every time I want to listen to something, I want to enjoy something. You know what I do when I listen to music? I close my eyes because there's so many songs out there. There's so much music out there that can really influence your life and make you relax and make you enjoy things and make you really be in a better place in life. So sit back, relax, listen to a good song, or have a good friend with you, talk, listen to some great music, just like me. Years ago, sitting on the dock of the bay, that took me way back with a lot of great thoughts and a lot of great people that I certainly love and miss each and every day. So thanks for watching, and thanks to Newmont Studios, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.